Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Common Room Conversations, our very first episode of 2022. My name is Chris White.
And I'm Brennan White, and it's good to be back after a little more than a month off, or just about a month.
Just about, yeah.
For a full-length episode. Would have recorded sooner, Mr. COVID boy over here. Got
yeah.
A couple instances, close calls of COVID.
It's been fantastic. Trying to stay away from that. Thank God, we're past that. And hopefully we'll stay past that and be able to move on and keep doing these episodes weekly. And like we said at the end of last year, is that, you know, some changes will be happening and we'll be talking about a wider variety of things. And we'll be doing a couple of different segments as time goes on. We'll add new stuff and not just talk about trailers coming up in the future and add more variety in here.
Yeah, and on top of that, it might just be a little bit delayed, of course, because we got delayed with our episodes and our viewings. So we just want to kind of get back into the swing of things before we start to really change it up on you guys.
Yeah, we got very lucky that they didn't release too many new trailers in the time that we were away.
Yeah, no, like, not too many.
There wasn't too much. And the stuff that they did release, we either talked about it today or it was like,
they just new trailer.
So we got super lucky there. But let's hop right into it.
So we have a few movies we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Minions, The Rise of Gru, Death on the Nile, the movie Marry Me, and the new series coming out, Moon Knight, from Marvel. It's the next big picture we get from Marvel before Doctor Strange. And to kick it off today, we're going to start with Minions, The Rise of Gru, which is coming out July 1st, 2022.
Yeah, this actually was slated several years ago.
Yeah, wasn't supposed to come out in 2020? Like originally, before. And then they was it
20? Maybe it was 2020.
I think it was announced in 2019, and then it got pushed to 2022. Yeah. It was supposed to release in 2022, and then it got pushed back, and then it got pushed back again.
Yep, it was great. But this movie, so the summary is quite long-winded, but I'm gonna kind of try and go through it as quick as possible. We know I'm very good at reading things.
The best.
In the heart of the 1970s. Amidst a flurry of feathered hair and flared jeans, Gru, played by Steve Carell, is growing up in the suburbs, a fanboy of a supervillain supergroup known as the Vicious Six. Gru hatches a plan to become evil enough to join them. Luckily, he gets some mayhem-making backup from his fellow followers, the Minions. Together, Kevin, Stuart, Bob, and Otto, a new Minion sporting braces and a desperate need to please, deploy their skills as they and Gru build their first lair, experiment with their first weapons, and pull off their first missions. When the Vicious Six outs their leader, legendary fighter Wild Knuckles, Gru interviews to become their newest member. It doesn't go well, to say the least, and only gets worse after Gru outsmarts them and suddenly finds himself the mortal enemy of the apex of evil. On the run, Gru will turn into an unlikely source of guidance, Wild Knuckles, and discover that even bad guys need a little help from their friends. So, this trailer was like 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, it was long, to say the least.
It's one of those where I felt like I got the whole story.
Yeah, I could see that too. And I want to like comment on like the Vicious Six. It's like what's up with all like villainous groups? And just the number six. You know, it's like we got the Vicious Six in this movie. You got the Spider-Man, we have the Sinister Six, and many variations of it. We have the League of Doom.
The major, like, thing that relates to six that's of evil is 666, right?
It's the devil!
So that's kind of where that six, I would assume, comes from. But this movie looks really good. I enjoyed the first Minions movie. I know it was very...
I did not.
You know, yeah. Questionable for some people.
I'll say I'm a little more excited about this movie than I was for the first Minions movie, only because I love Steve Carell and I love like Gru
and I love doing my
Gru impression.
I loved Steve Carell's like young Gru. It sounded fantastic.
It does. All he has to do is like raise his voice like an octave.
It was great.
This movie does indeed look oh my god, English. Looks like it will be a little bit better than the first one. I feel like the first Minions movie really just relied too heavily on slapstick humor. Where, and like, I know like the Minions had their like moments to shine in like the Despicable Me movies with like such nonchalant humor. Yeah,
it's difficult to do a movie based on characters that don't speak.
Not really. Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, but like slapstick, I think is kind of how you have to do it easily.
You don't speak minion? Oh, boy. Banana.
But yeah, this is the longest advertised animated film in motion picture history. Because its first trailer came out 2.5 years ago, when it was originally supposed to be released.
Yeah, and then we got a variety of different teasers for it. Yeah. And now we have the final trailer for it.
Yeah. This movie, because it was supposed to get released in July of 2020, they actually had McDonald's toys in the Happy Meals back from late June 2020 into late July of 2020, even though the movie did not come out until not even out yet.
Yeah.
So 2 years ago, they had these toys in McDonald's, and the collection was 50 different toys.
That's ridiculous.
They had 50 different minions for a movie that didn't come out for two more years.
That's crazy to think, too, because honestly, the only larger collection of McDonald's movie branded McDonald's like toys for Happy Meals I can think of was when Shrek 2 and Shrek 3 came out.
Well, that's not correct because they did 50 for this, right? And then for Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary, they just released a new it's not new anymore, but recent collection, which was 50 Disney characters that you could collect.
Oh, I know that. Well, I'm also a fucking adult, so I don't order a Happy Meal and say I want a goddamn Mickey Mouse.
That's
50th anniversary.
50 different toys, and a Happy Meal is what, $6-$7?
No, it's gotta be less than that.
I think a Happy Meal is like $6.
Well, then that's a fucking ripoff and go to Wendy's for $4. That's fucking ridiculous. If it's a Happy Meal, that much money for a few apple slices and a nugget.
If you're going there, well, let's just say it's five. Let's be nice and say it's five.
I think it's criminal if it's more than that.
If you're guaranteed to get a different toy in every box, that's $250 in Happy Meals. And you know that you ain't going to be guaranteed to get the same toy.
Believe it or not, you know, what my mom used to do is, especially when the Shrek...
Just ask them.
Hey, hi, we have these ones. Can we get this one instead? Yeah.
Sometimes they'll do it. Sometimes they'll be like...
Sometimes they
don't want to dig through the bin. But this movie had three directors. So the first one was Kyle Balda, who he has 13 director credits. One of my favorite movies, The Lorax, he directed. I love that movie.
That's one of the movies
I can like go back and rewatch because I can just like I vibe with that so heavy. Yeah, I speak for the truth. Yes. He did Despicable Me 3. And he also did Minions, the original. So
it's such a toss-up with that director, too, because I love The Lorax. Despicable Me 3 is not my favorite of the Despicable Me franchise. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I did not enjoy the first Minions movie. So it'll be a little bit of a toss-up for my opinion on this movie. I mean, like, I probably won't see this movie in theaters.
No. The minute it gets hit on streaming,
I will watch this on a streaming service. Yeah.
This is a Universal project, right? So Universal is owned by Comcast, and it's Peacock.
We could see it on Peacock.
So we could see it on the Peacock pay. but then we also have Brad Abelson, who has 6 director credits, and the most notable is a Minions Holiday Special in 2020. And then we have Jonathan Del Valle. He has 2 director credits, this and The Secret Life of Pets 2.
Which is good that they're really sticking to their guns here working with directors who have worked on Illumination projects they all have. Which is good because they understand like the route it needs to go and the directorial standpoint that it needs to go through with this animation.
Yeah.
Again, I have full confidence it will be better than the first Minions movie. I just don't think it'll be a movie I would like to see, especially because of we'll have a lot. I'll say
in theaters.
I won't say better movies, but more movies that I will be
more highly hyped. Yeah. More, yeah,
exactly. Especially if Doctor Strange goes until then.
I forgot about this movie. I think like a few weeks ago on the podcast, I was like, wait, there's a new Minions coming out. But I have known about this movie for so long.
I thought it came out already.
I literally have a Minions poster from this movie under my desk, and I forgot that this was a movie coming out.
I totally thought that this movie already came out. So when I saw it, like, you posted in your notes, I was like, what? I was like, yeah. Excuse me? But
it's been like, it's too overdrawn, I think.
I feel that, again, like, it is the most advertised animated picture, and I feel like they over advertised it, because if people know about it, you know, you don't have to keep dropping all these teasers for it and then drop a whole another 3 minute long trailer before the movie comes out in the summer, because it has a pre-existing fan base around it with Despicable Me 1, 2, and 3 with the Minions Holiday Special, the first Minions movie, and then this. You don't need all this advertising to try and promote this movie to do well in the box office. If people have children, or if people want that nostalgia, because the first Despicable Me movie came out, what, 2010? So this pre-existing fan base spreads out for over a decade.
Well, this was supposed to get released on the 10-year anniversary of the original.
Yeah, which still made it even. Yeah. Now it's
pushed back.
So it's been over a decade since the first, you know, it was time we got really dove into this universe. It's got that pre-existing fan base. So the fact that they over-advertised the shit out of it, I felt it was unnecessary, because, again, with that pre-existing fan base, they're going to want to see this movie. Mm-hmm. Kids are going to want to see this movie because it's summer blockbuster. Parents aren't going to want to deal with their fucking kids all day in the house.
It's a cartoon.
Exactly.
Which,
it's an animated picture.
You know, like I've said in the past, those are, you know, far and few in between, and they tend to stay in theaters for quite a bit to give kids that
especially
option
because
of things to see.
I believe this is, like, one of the very few movies of the summer we'll actually see that's a very, like, kid-friendly PG-rated movie. Because
we haven't really seen too much.
And before that, it was Sing 2. Sing 2 is just, like, just barely still in theaters. And,
we'll be getting Bad Guys soon, which is...
Bad Guys is PG. Mm-hmm. But then that's about it. I think Bad Guys is the only thing we have.
We were supposed to have Hotel Transylvania, but that's now Amazon Prime
ridiculous.
Exclusive. So that's an interesting turn of events.
Yeah, I wasn't too happy about that.
I mean, thank God I have Amazon Prime, but I'll see it eventually. But yeah, this is the world we live in, where, like, a movie can be announced to be theatrical and then instantly be, like, coughed up by a streaming service and no longer have theater time is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it also just
because Disney does the same thing.
Well, I think a lot of what I had to do with it, because wasn't Hotel Transylvania due for a January release? Or was it February?
Ooh, I don't remember.
But I feel as though the success of the movies that are out now heavily affected it, like with theater placement. Because honestly, Scream is doing very well in the box office. And it actually...
But that's also, like, a different category.
No, but here's the thing, though, is that it did so well that it's also getting more theaters, because it produced very well. It actually, I believe, I was reading somewhere that it actually, its opening weekend, made more money than Spider-Man No Way Home did. And it topped the box office, about almost a little more than $10 million than Spider-Man No Way Home did that the weekend it opened. And Spider-Man No Way Home, as you know, is the sixth highest grossing movie of all time. And it's still out in theaters with 8 different movie times a day.
Yeah. Well, here's the issue with that movie, right, is that nowadays we're not really getting too many big money pictures right now. Like,
I gotta disagree with you, because if you don't remember, we're getting a lot of big money productions coming out.
I mean, right now in theaters, what do you have for options? You have Spider-Man No Way Home, probably, like, in 3 or 4 of the theaters. So, like, this is a variety movie that it's not the same thing that's playing. So people are like, ooh, I want to see something different. And that's kind of why, I guess, it, you know, did very well.
Well, it also shocks me, too, because the only movie that released that towards the end of the year that isn't in theaters at the moment is West Side Story. That isn't.
Well, I knew that was gonna be bad. Like,
it wasn't. It didn't get horrible reviews, and it made okay. But, like, Spider-Man's still in theaters. So is The Kingsman. So is The Scream's now in theaters, and we have a couple other movies. But we have in the future, like, even coming out very soon, we have a bunch of big name pictures coming out of The Lost City. We have The Bad Guys. We have The Batman coming out in a little over a month, which I can't wait to see. This movie's coming out in July, and we'll have hopefully no more trailers or teasers for it until then. Maybe one like little like 1 minute like clip.
They're gonna release a 10 minute.
No, I noticed that a lot of studios and like to promote their movies, they're releasing the first like minute of a movie. So maybe they'll do that because like I know Spider-Man did that. I know a couple other movies are doing that. So that's what I think we'll see and can expect right before this movie comes out in July.
Yeah, probably.
And it's gonna be a busy weekend for it. The weekend 4th of July.
Oh God, yeah.
Good weekend. Busy weekend.
They did good choosing that. Death on the Nile coming out on February
11th, 2022. Very, very soon.
Yeah.
Literally 2 weeks from now.
Another movie that was supposed to get released quite a while ago and kept getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. This movie was actually delayed several times, so it was originally set for a 2019 release. It got delayed in filming, so then it was pushed to 2022. Then, because of the pandemic, it was pushed several times until it was set for fall 2021.
And a lot of them.
Now it's delayed again because of Armie Hammer issues to February of 2022.
Yeah, and I believe a lot of why it wasn't released in 2019 is because I cannot think of her name. Who played in Black Panther? She had, I think there was a lot of scheduling conflicts with her as well as Gal Gadot, because they had the reshoots for.
Yeah, Black Panther's actress is Lupita.
Lupita, okay.
Lupita Wright.
Lupita Wright.
That is.
I thought it was Lita Wright. I don't know. It's such a now. It's such a now. But I think there's scheduling conflicts with her with filming Black Panther as well as filming Endgame. Lupita.
Well, I don't know.
And then I know Gal Gadot had some other projects she was working on. And honestly, just like, and then Armie Hammer I know of course. But other than that, those are the only two actresses I'm really quite familiar with that are starring in this movie. I wasn't a huge fan of the first in the franchise, which if a lot of you don't know, The Death on the Nile is a sequel to The Murder on the Orient Express, which came out in 2017, yeah. Which I liked it, but I wasn't a huge fan of it. But I really
liked it.
I thought it was enjoyable. But it was just another classic whodunit. You know, it's exactly what this is going to be. And that had a better cast with Josh.
That's why it did so well. What's his name? Because it had Josh Gad, Daisy Ridley,
Johnny Depp.
It had literally like an all-star cast.
Yeah, it was.
And there's like three people that are noticeable here.
Well, to us anyway.
Yeah, like, to us. It's Letitia Wright.
Letitia Wright.
Okay. I was getting her confused with Lupita Nyong'o.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She was also Black Panther. That's why, like, when you said Black Panther, my brain was like, "Oh, her." And it wasn't.
Yeah.
Letitia Wright, who was in this movie, was the one that played Suri.
She played Suri.
Yep. I think you kind of hit that. The summary of this movie, Belgian sleuth Hercule Poirot, I don't know how to say that.
Oh my God.
But his vacation aboard a glamorous river steamer turns into a terrifying search for a murderer when a picture-perfect couple...
Couple's idyllic... Idyllic honeymoon is tragically cut short. Set against an epic landscape of sweeping Egyptian desert vistas and the majestic pyramids of Giza, this tale of unbridled passion and
so he had so many issues with me reading it and then is struggling. Yeah, Jesus this Christ, hard.
The biggest damn words I've ever seen in my life.
Encapsulating
jealousy.
Yeah.
Jealousy features a cosmopolitan group of impeccably distressed travelers,
yep.
And enough wicked twists and turns to leave audiences guessing until the final shocking.
Yeah, I like
what
how
the fuck is that
a
word?
A few episodes ago, you thought I wrote all of the summaries. And I'll tell you, didn't write this.
Yeah, I don't know. Like a lot now, this is like proof that a lot of like where you get the summaries from, they just have so many goddamn fucking typos and like just like use words that don't make sense. Okay, I'm like. Anyway,
that last word, by the way, is denouement, I believe.
Denouement?
A shocking denouement. Okay. I don't know what the fuck a denouement is, but...
I'm going to be honest with you, I've never heard that word either. But
it looks, like you said, it's definitely a cookie cutter, whodunit, Clue type shit.
I can't wait to find out that they all did it. was that what happened at the end of the first one? They all had a hand in his murder?
I actually don't remember.
It's something like, fucking stupid like that.
But I think, I don't know. I think it's gonna be the bitch that was like, you just blame me for murder. And then someone else was like, that's kind of his thing. Like, I think it's gonna be that bitch. Like, the older bitch. Yeah.
I don't know. Natural causes. That's what
we
I'm
need
say.
A good movie where old people are the murderers, you know?
No, because I don't really... this movie I'm definitely not going to see. Like, I won't see
it. I won't see it in theaters. Maybe, like, 3 years down the line when it comes onto Netflix. And yeah.
I'm not... I just won't
when
see
I'm,
it.
Like, just late at night desperate to watch something new and I'm like, oh, this is a thing. Let's watch this.
Well, like I said, I wasn't a big fan of the Murder on the Orient Express, so I'm not really itching and jonesing to see this one. And you might not think it, but I've seen so many advertisements for this movie and it's just like, it annoys the shit out of me. Like, I saw Scream last night and I saw this. Like, we had to wait for our theater because we had to get a later time and we were sitting there waiting and there's like on like a TV. And like every like so few trailers, it would pop up, and then fucking, oh, look at that! We're in the theater waiting for the movie to start. There's another trailer for us. I'm, oh my god, I don't want to watch this trailer anymore. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, well, normally people don't sit in the lobby waiting for movies, so they don't deal with. When I worked in a movie theater, literally the TV just played the same like 5 trailers over and over all day.
And they, it was even, like, they really even, at the they really point even played trailers, though. They just play, like, really funny commercials. I love those commercials from Regal.
At a point, it just, it gets so much to be so much. And you just have everything stuck in your head. Like, you can fully picture it without looking at it. But the budget on this movie, so it's an estimated 120 million British pounds. A British pound is worth more than a... American dollar.
Yeah, it's so £1 is more than an American
definitely,
dollar. So it's got quite a budget.
Even though, you know, the cast is lackluster as, you know, the previous.
Well, I feel movie. Like that's probably where they had saved a lot of their money.
Yeah.
Is not getting, enlisting A-list actors. Yeah. Except really for Letitia Wright and.
Because I think Gal Gadot. Oscar Isaac was in Murder on the Orient Express.
Was he?
It had a cast. I think he was on Murder on the Orient Express.
I gotta look that up too. We both just pulled our phones.
I think he was. I remember him, and I was like, "Who is that person?" Because he was like so new to acting when it came out that I was like,
"Willem Dafoe is in the movie."
It literally had a fucking cast.
Yep. That's how long ago. I Johnny Depp, yep. Daisy Ridley, Michelle Pfeiffer,
Judy
Willem
Dench,
Dafoe,
Penelope Cruz.
Yeah, Jesus, wow.
And then you see this movie and you're like, this is the sequel to that such, like, casted movie? It pales in comparison. It really does. And it does have, like, repeat people, too, because Tom Bateman is in this movie as well, and he was in the last one. So it has some repeat characters, but, of course, no one of, you know, notable, you know, to me.
Yeah.
Notable.
Yeah, no, same here. But again, yeah, like, I didn't have too much to talk about with this movie, because it's just like the same old. Yeah. The classic whodunit. There's going to be some twists and there's going to be some turns. I know people who have read the novel, they'll know who did it unless they change it, and whoever read the novels will be pissed and not ever want to see this movie ever again. But I have nothing else to say about this movie.
So, at the end of Murder of the Orient Express... which was in 2017, the main character is told of a death on the Nile. And in the novel, Death on the Nile, his character was on the boat before and at the time the first death was committed. So this might have, you know, be a discrepancy in, you know, the movie because, you know, clearly, you know, its predecessor mentions that it happened and to where it doesn't really match up with the book, so they might go, you know, based off of that. He might come... See, it's very weird because, you know, we read the summary, right? And the murder, you know, happens on his vacation, right? I don't think he's purposely going on vacation to see murder.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So I don't know. We'll see. We'll definitely have to see how that kind of ties in.
I mean, you can, I won't.
A lot of times when books are written, it kind of deviates from the, you know, in picture, motion picture, to make it more interesting.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that works.
Yeah.
The director is Kenneth Branagh. That's a last name that I don't think I said correctly.
You definitely butchered it, but I don't even want to attempt it.
He has 23 director credits. He was the original director on Murder of the Orient Express, which he's actually the main character. He plays the detective. He did Cinderella in 2015, which I believe was the live action that was done by Disney, starring it wasn't Ellie Flan. I don't know
who it was. I don't know.
But then he also did Thor.
Yes.
So, you know, he's definitely had some big pictures in there. So we'll see how this one comes out.
You will.
We don't talk about romantic comedies too much.
First time I think we actually have talked about romantic comedy on
the podcast. I think we had one before. And no. I can't think of what it was. Yes, yes, we did.
Excuse me.
It was it was Love, Lost Island, Lost City. That was like a romantic comedy.
I'm not
comedy.
Calling that a romantic comedy. That's an adventure comedy.
Okay. I mean, okay.
That's an adventure comedy. I'm not hearing it.
But we've got Marry Me, which comes out on February 11th. A lot of the stuff comes out on, like, you know, Death on the Nile and Marry Me come out on the same day.
Yeah.
So, but the summary of this movie is music superstar Kat Valdez and Bastion are getting married before a global audience of fans. But when Kat learns seconds before her vows that Bastion has been unfaithful, she decides to marry Charlie, a stranger in the crowd, instead. So, you know, Kat Valdez is played by Jennifer Lopez.
Yep.
And Charlie is played by Owen Wilson. And this looks fantastic.
I will say I'm not a huge fan of rom-coms, but I do, I think I will find enjoyment in this, especially because Jennifer Lopez is rather funny in some of the roles she plays.
I
love Owen
really
Wilson.
Good as an actress.
I love Owen Wilson in a lot of his roles, and I loved him in Loki, and I've loved him in early 2000s movies, Wedding Crashers, and
every
cameos,
time...
and... the Meet the Fockers, Meet the Parents, all those.
Every time I hear his voice, I just, like, instantly think of Cars. Just instantly just imagine a Cars talking. I just, it's bad. It happens.
Oh, geez, would you look at that? Honey, I think someone's trying to murder us.
Oh, wow. So, Jennifer Lopez and Owen Wilson have actually been in a movie together already.
Yep,
Anaconda. They were in Anaconda in 1997.
Which was one of Jennifer Lopez's first movies, actually, too. I had a great cast. There's Jennifer Lopez, Owen Wilson, Ice Cube. That was a great cast. Great movie.
There's not too much to talk about this because it just there wasn't too much to it. It just kind of looks like, you know, it's her as a superstar kind of on her high horse. She's in her own world, and then she decides to just do something, you know, on the spontaneous for once, because, you know, I'm sure
out of the norm.
Everything is, like, scheduled for her, so she tries to do something spontaneous once and actually ends up enjoying it. You know, there's a scene where she goes to visit you know, Charlie's classroom because he's a teacher.
Yeah,
and
she's
like
teaching
dancing
them
around
dancing.
And having
it's,
fun.
It's definitely gonna be like one of those stories where, you know, like, she lives in this high-end high class world, and like meeting Charlie and like getting to know him more, it's gonna humble her and humanize her more, and bring her back to like the social norms that aren't represented through, you know, the basic popularity of Hollywood and then the music industry and all that.
100%.
So it's gonna be a tale of the ages for for anyone of this Valentine's Day looking to go see that.
I think this is gonna like end up with, you know, you can kind of see that. Her agent really just wants divorce done as quick as possible. But, you know, it kind of looks like she's actually catching feelings. And it'll end with them actually, you know, being together.
Exactly. And from the trailer, it looks as she doesn't want it to start off that way. She starts it off as not her want catching feelings, per se, but her not wanting to seem like...
A loser.
A loser and an indecisive person about what she does. Like, she impulsively marries someone in the crowd who has a Marry Me sign, and then...
And here's the thing, right? He wasn't really going to go, right? I think that's not even his sign.
No, it wasn't his sign. I believe that. Sarah Silverman gave it to her because he went with Sarah Silverman. So I believe that maybe Sarah Silverman will play a lesbian in this movie. Okay. And she had a sign that said, marry me. Maybe she wants Jennifer Lopez to marry her. Or maybe Bastian was supposed to be there with J-Lo and maybe she wants Bastian to marry her. Okay. You know what I mean?
Interesting one. There's definitely... I don't think he brought that sign.
No, he didn't. You see in the trailer, she gets handed to him.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, when she's like, I gotta go to the bathroom, and she hands it to him.
Oh, I didn't see that part, to be honest with you.
But I believe this movie will actually, release on the same day as Death on the Nile, I believe it will do better than Death on the Nile.
Yeah.
Because Valentine's Day is 3 days after this movie comes out. It comes out on a Friday, right, I believe?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Valentine's Day is on Monday. Yep. So it comes out Valentine's Day weekend. So, you know, every... guy who's not into rom coms, their girlfriend's gonna want to. They'd be like, oh, let's go see Marry Me, and then we'll go to dinner, and then you know it'll tell you to fucking marry me, and then all that. Yeah, so it's very Death on the Nile's placement for release date is very poor because a lot of February releases there aren't too many February releases. The only successful February release that has like ever been like a smash hit was Black Panther. Because I believe that came out February 8th of 2018. And because it was early February. And February releases strategically and, you know, factually just do not have a large push out of revenue. Because a lot of the time, especially because if big blockbusters come out around November or December, they're still playing by the time February rolls around. Yep. Like Spider-Man No Way Home, I have no doubt there'll still be like two movie times for the movie. But... yeah, Black Panther was like one of the first cases and instances that it made billions of dollars being released in February. But I do believe that Marry Me, will be in way more revenue, but a little more revenue and probably beat out Death on the Nile in the box office weekend on the tomato meter.
So this is Owen Wilson's first mainstream theatrical release since Father Figures. Which is back in 2017.
Was it released that long ago?
4 years ago.
Jeez, that's crazy.
It's going to be... wait.
2017.
Yeah.
18, 5 19, 20, 21, 22.
See? Another thing. Typo, that's not my fault. but yeah, 5 years ago, Father Figures was released. So he hasn't been in a major theatrical release since then. You know, but he has done big projects like Loki, even though, you know... that doesn't classify as a theatrical release.
I feel like he's had like some producer credits here and there on some shows and movies.
Yeah, he's been doing his thing, taking a little break. Just gonna.
But Loki was big.
It was good. That was such a good movie. But this is actually directed by Kat Coro. She has 28 director credits. She did an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and she did 4 episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And then she's doing all 6 episodes of the new Marvel Disney Plus show, She-Hulk. So, you know, this will be a good, you know, idea of, you know, what she can do as a director and give us our first glimpse into how, you know, She-Hulk is going to come out. And
which I'm very excited for, and I can't wait to see She-Hulk.
Definitely. And it's really cool to see that She-Hulk is, you know, the helm of it is led by a woman, you know, to actually, you know, understand.
Well, that Mark Ruffalo is confirmed to be in She-Hulk. So
yeah.
And I believe that Charlie Cox will be reprising his role as Daredevil as well in that TV series as well. It will heavily focus around Jen Walters, who is She-Hulk. But it also have that strong supporting cast with Mark Ruffalo and Charlie Cox, which I can't wait for.
That's another project that's going to do spectacular.
Anything Marvel's going to be spectacular.
They've been killing it with these Marvel shows.
They have.
And I just wanted all. Where have they been all my life? Why have we not had these for like years on end at this point?
We have. You just never wanted to watch Daredevil. I told you to watch Daredevil.
I mean, and yeah, Jessica that was Jones. The Netflix those are both stuff. Great. And I've heard.
Yeah,
a
but
lot
they're
of
now
Nick
confirmed. Now,
Netflix.
But now confirmed heard, MCU.
I still have like, there's the Hulu project that they did called MODOK. I believe it's.
With Patton Oswalt. I never saw that.
I love Patton Oswalt.
I do too. He's very funny.
Did you see? So Patton Oswalt was in a show called.
Did you watch Eternals?
No.
Yeah, watch it, because Patton Oswalt is going to be in the second Eternals, and he was actually in the end credit scene for Eternals.
Oh, I love him so much. But he was in a show a while ago, and he kind of went off on a rant in a town hall meeting.
Parks and Rec.
It was Parks and Rec. And he went off on a rant about Boba Fett would return.
I've seen so much about that.
The new book of Boba Fett, that is the exact way that it happens. Yeah. And he has, credits on that episode. So they, he worked on that episode.
That's very funny.
To bring his own thing. So his rant is canon in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, especially because that happened, I think that episode came out like 2011. So that's 10 years. Yeah. That. It's like, wow, okay.
Yeah, but everything he's in is so good.
Yeah.
And, if you don't know who Patton Oswalt is, he's in the Secret Life of Pets. He's one of the. He's the main.
He's not only that. He's been in the community. He's been around for years.
Oh yeah, he's been in so much.
So many.
Everything is amazing. But right, yeah, Marry Me. I definitely. I won't see it in theaters.
I'll probably take Jules and see this. she had some interest in it. I love Owen Wilson. I like J-Lo. So I'll be interested in seeing this. I wouldn't mind spending money to see it.
Yeah.
And now with us talking about Disney Plus, it leads us into the last topic for today. And finally, what we're going to be talking about today is, I feel like I say this all the time whenever it's a project revolving around Marvel, but a project I'm very excited for ever since it was rumored to be announced 4 or 5 years ago, and it was officially announced, and now we have a trailer for it, is Moon Knight, one of my favorite Marvel characters and anti-hero from the Marvel comics ever since I was, God, like 12 maybe, because... He was a character, unlockable character in the Lego Marvel Superheroes game, the first one that came out, and I unlocked him. I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. And then I did so much research on him, and I've read a couple comics by him, and I was like, oh my God, this is like the coolest, badass character ever, like with like actual like real world problems that are going on in his head. So the summary for this series is actually a former U.S. Marine struggling with dissociative identity disorder is granted the powers of an Egyptian moon god, but he soon finds out that these newfound powers can be both a blessing and a curse to his troubled life. And a lot to go around with this is, Oscar Isaac is the main character in the series, and not only is he playing, is it going to heavily revolve around his dissociative identity disorder, but it's just going to be even more clear and evident of that with he thinks his name is Steve, is Steven, but his real name is actually Mark Spector, who came from a very troubled childhood, and he has struggled with this dissociative identity disorder for his whole life, and when he became a mercenary after leaving the Marines, became a mercenary and was actually. The origins of his powers was he was gunned down in Egypt on a mission, and the Egyptian god Khonshu, I believe is how you pronounce it, instead of ignoring his faith, he actually used his abilities and his powers to grant him life again and give him the powers of Moon Knight, and basically a servant to him, a servant but not a servant to him, but giving him a second chance at life, mm-hmm. which with that effect really amplified his dissociative identity disorder, because in the trailer we see, he has no, he mentions how he has no grasp of when he's awake or if he's asleep or not, and you see him at night, he had to tie his ankle to like a post, yep. It would chain, he had to extra lock all of his doors because you said he has no control over what he does, and that really amplifies because it was really amplified because when he's given these powers, he has no idea he even has these powers, mm-hmm. and he has no idea that he was actually Mark Spector. When she gets a phone call when he finds that hidden phone in his apartment, and he's like, "Why'd you call me Mark?" And then you see through the trailer, he has no idea what he's doing. Like he's driving, and he looks and he has a gun in his hand. And he like drops it because he's so terrified.
The guy he killed it just falls out of the back of the truck.
Yep, and he has no idea. It's clear and evident that the. That his Moon Knight persona really wants to break out, but it's dissociative identity disorder is struggling to have it break out because we see like he's in the dark and then he sees in the mirror that the Moon Knight.
I'm getting like Venom vibes. with just like the way of.
It's not really because you know Venom. It's almost like a puppet. Yeah. With a mastermind, but with Moon Knight, like it's Moon Knight, like more, it's more mental. Of an, it's an alter ego yeah. kind of thing. And the this series, I hope we get a second season for the series. We obviously don't have.
I mean, we won't know until we see.
Yeah, all the forms. Yeah, exactly. Because it comes out March 30th, which I feel is too long. But honestly, I think now what they're trying to do with Disney Plus too, especially we saw clear evidence with Hawkeye and Spider-Man. I feel as though we may see a Moon Knight appearance in Doctor Strange 2. Because there have been a ton of reshoots because Doctor Strange was coming out February. It got pushed back to May. Mm-hmm. And we saw it because of reshoots out of the success of No Way Home.
Well, I feel like we're going to see Tobey Maguire return.
Yes, I that has been rumored. That. And I believe that could come to fruition. But again, like I was saying, because this comes out, you know, six episode series.
Yep.
And either the fifth or the sixth episode come out the same weekend as Doctor Strange does. So, like how they did with Hawkeye, how they brought Charlie Cox in, or how Spider-Man brought Charlie Cox in, and that same week, they brought Kingpin in. And then the week after No Way Home came out is when they had the finale with featuring Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin again. But I'm very excited for this series. And it looks more of like more of a horror aspect too.
It does.
It like yeah. a very very suspenseful aspect to it. And Oscar Isaac looked like he's gonna play this role phenomenally just from his emotion we see in the trailer. He's
such an emotional actor. I saw The Card Counter.
Yes.
A few months ago, in theaters, and it's like. He played such a good role, and you could tell, like, his character was, like, a lack of emotion, like...
Yeah, know, it was so, like, so
but blunt. But, like, the way he played it, you can tell that there was a lot of emotion behind it.
Yeah.
He was able to do such a dead face, suspense-like performance.
Yeah, the poker face.
Yeah. it was spectacular. You know, that to me was, like, he's a good actor. Because I didn't get that from Star Wars, you know, when he was in the Star Wars movies. I didn't get, you know, that he's a phenomenal actor until I saw The Card Counter and I was like, he can act. Like, this is acting. Like, in a movie where you're not, like, the star, I mean, I guess he was one of the stars of Star Wars, but, you know, there's so many things happening at once yeah. that he blends in. But when he has these like breakout roles where like, he gets to show emotion,
Star Wars was definitely his breakout role because he's been acting for years before Wars too.
That's how he got a lot of.
But roles, then really got like his high well known name from Star Wars, and then he was in the Addams Family animated movie.
I actually haven't seen either of them.
They were pretty good. I will admit I wasn't expecting too much from them, but they're actually quite enjoyable. Like you said, you had The Card Counter, and then he's just been killing it these last 2 years because then he was in Dune. That just came out at the end of last year.
Either.
And now he's in this. He was in the end of Into the Spider-Verse that came out in 2018. He's playing Spider-Man 2099, and he's gonna play a heavy role as we saw and talked about in the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2 trailer, where because he's playing Spider-Man 2099, and that's who we see grab Miles during that sequence. And I know you have in a note that this will be his third. Marvel appearance, yep. And those are the other two. Where is his Spider-Man 2099 role,
and then you know Apocalypse and X-Men Apocalypse.
Yes, I did totally forget about that. 2016. That's such a forgettable movie. I wanted to like that movie so much because the one before it, X-Men Days of Future Past was a brilliant movie. That's one of the only X-Men movies I can It's like it has such rewatchability that I can watch that over and over again.
I have yet to see an X-Men movie. I was gonna watch The Dark Phoenix. I just never got around to it. Dark Phoenix is
horrible. I would not watch it.
I'm so far gone. I'm not even gonna worry about it.
I would say the only X-Men movies worth watching would be X-Men 2, which came out early 2000s. And then I would watch X-Men First Class with James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender. That was a great one. And then I watched the sequel to that, which was Days of Future Past. And then I watched Logan. Because Logan was Hugh Jackman's last outing as Wolverine, and it was incredible. I didn't get to see it in theaters, but I watched it when it came out on streaming, for streaming, and it was a phenomenal movie.
So this is the first Marvel Studios series to not include any previously established characters. Because he's been in, you know, the comics. He has his own comics. And
yeah, he's been, like you said, I believe he was first introduced in 1972. Was his it was his first comic books appearance. And there have been different iterations about the two main notable iterations of him, which is, revolves around Mark Spector, who is Oscar Isaac's role, but also in Earth 616, which I don't know if maybe they'll do a little call to it here, introducing his brother in the series, because his brother portrayed Arthur of the Mantle's Moon Knight as well. So maybe they'll do a little, because like, I feel like as though they're going to do that with, like how they did with Hawkeye, because in Hawkeye, when we looked up the cast, they didn't show us Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin, because they don't want to, they want to spoil all these
they
big...
They want to keep something hidden.
So I believe they'll keep that hidden as well, because if you look at the cast list now, there's only six cast members.
Yep.
And I do believe that Ethan Hawke will be the main villain in this movie. I'm not sure on who the other actor will, what his role in this movie will quite be. We actually just had him, he just passed away during a skiing accident less than a week ago, or a little more than a week ago.
2 days after the trailer released.
That's when he died?
Yep.
About a week ago, which is, it's very tragic. He was very young, and he looked like he had very much talent, and I'm sure they're going to respect his final wishes within this series, and definitely really, really idolize his character and his role in this movie, or the series. Sorry.
So speaking of how old this character is, in 2006, Marvel Studios and No Equal Entertainment actually announced their intentions to release a live action Moon Knight TV series. That's over 10 years ago. Over 15 years ago at this point.
So the problem was with that, I was actually reading it, because like I had said that it was rumored to be like announced again quite a few years ago, and like not quite that long ago, but I was reading a bit more about it too, is that they didn't want to do that due to the fact that he's been around for a long time in the comic books. Mm-hmm. Moon Knight has. But it wasn't until much later that he was, you know, really heavily incorporated within the Avengers, and really like stepped away from like an anti-hero perspective and became more of like a hero joining the Avengers team.
Yep.
And the Marvel Studios had a lot of fear that it would flop due to the fact that people wouldn't enjoy it as much, because I believe what the movie Watchmen came out around the same time, which kind of had more of an anti-hero aspect to it as well. Uh-huh. And like a darker undertone theme to it, which in this case, how it that's what it is now, like the series coming out, and it looks like it has to be done that way because it looks brilliant and I can't wait to see it. But they were very afraid that no one would either know of Moon Knight as well or care too much about this character.
Yep.
And they wanted to find the right actor. So they did some screen tests with a few actors, but they didn't feel right, so they just canned it. And I think it was announced in 2016 that it was rumored to be in development. Mm-hmm. And then it was officially announced, I believe, at the Phase 4 slate, either in 2019 or 2020, was when it was announced. And I was so very excited for it. And it makes me even, leads me more to believe that Moon Knight will also make the appearance in Doctor Strange 2, because I don't know if you've seen anywhere about it, but Doctor Strange 2 has rumored and actually claims to break the Endgame record for most Marvel most superhero appearances in a movie. So everyone crazy we saw in Endgame, amplify that by any superhero ever in Marvel history.
Yeah.
So we're gonna get introduced to new characters. We're gonna introduce to old characters, and I just really hope that. Especially because we're getting America Chavez and Doctor Strange 2, which she looks as she'll be able to play a prominent role, that maybe Moon Knight might also play a prominent role, especially because his powers aren't just always dressing up in a white robe and going around beating the shit out of people. He's given gifts of the god, of the Egyptian gods. He was given these powers for whatever choice he makes, either the chaos and good or the chaos and evil.
The series has three directors. So you've got Justin Benson, who has 11 director credits, And his most notable, he did an episode of The Twilight Zone, which was the remake in 2020.
Yep.
And then Aaron Moorhead, he has 13 director credits, but most of everything is just the same as Justin's.
They're directing partners.
They're directing partners.
Okay.
And then we have Mohammed Diab, who has 4 directing credits, and really nothing was pullable from his projects, a lot of shorts. And
interesting.
Well, I don't say a lot, there's 4.
That's what I like to see, though, is Marvel taking the chances on these directors, yeah. And it looks like it's going to pay off.
I like when they grab a director and then they pull someone that has, like, no experience to learn from
to learn to, like, really, like, apply what yeah. they want to do to it, and then see how it will, like, it will consistently flow with
to throw the new and styles. Fresh ideas from outside, and, you know. Yeah.
I really hope we get a second trailer before March 30th.
I think we will.
Maybe, like... I don't know. Jeez, maybe we'll get one with the Super Bowl.
Could be yeah.
Because we got this trailer with the playoff games that was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, and didn't the original Falcon and Winter Soldier trailer get released at the Super Bowl?
Oh,
yes.
It was either that or playoff games.
I think it was
because this one got released in the playoff games.
I think the other one was Super Bowl.
It might have been.
So we might get a new trailer during the Super Bowl.
That'd be very awesome to see. Another more in-depth trailer to see what else this movie will bring with its elements.
Yeah, definitely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us this week. We had quite a bit to talk about, from romantic comedies to cartoons
to classic whodunits, and then a classic case of who the fuck am I, who are you, and
possible what horror?
Are these powers.
But if you guys want to keep up with us, you can find me over on Twitter at Chris White with 2 T's,
and you can find me at Brendan White 3.
You can find the podcast at CR Convo. Next week we'll have a whole bunch of new stuff, and we'll probably throw in a different, you know, something new in there.
Yeah, unfortunately, this week we'll not have a bonus episode. There's not really a bonus episode we can talk about. We were planning to talk about the Hawkeye series, but a lot of what we would have to discuss, we really discussed with the Spider-Man, yeah. The long-ass Spider-Man.
We did a 50-minute Spider-Man bonus episode.
And it incorporated a lot of it, yeah. Incorporated to tie-ins with Hawkeye and just how that went.
Definitely.
But next week we will be bringing it back to you guys with a bonus episode for our special subscribers. So subscribe if you want to hear some of our little extra
yeah,
tales.
If you want to get a little taste of that Spider-Man episode, I did put the first half of it available for free for you guys to kind of understand how in-depth we went. And then the rest of that can be listened to over on anchor.fm/CRConvo. And you can go ahead and subscribe over there and get access to the rest of that episode. It was quite extensive and a lot to talk about.
Very extensive. We had a lot to talk about. But anyway, thank you guys so much for all your support. And just keep on watching, keep on listening. And if you want to subscribe, please subscribe. We post so much more than just this stuff. All our bonus episodes, we go in depth. As briefly as we can with our bonus episodes to bring you all the latest news on the movie trailers that are arriving. And it's the new year. It's going to bring about so many more opportunities for new releases to come out and new trailers and a lot more to be discussing with you guys in the future.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. You guys have a fantastic week.